Yeah, of course. Well, I love this. It's cool that we have a smaller group. I'm really excited. Okay, I'm gonna pray for us and then we'll jump right in. But even like because it's a smaller group, we'll have room for like more discussion or even like yeah, just conversation. Like it doesn't have to be over the topic, but there I think that this would just be like a great opportunity just to like hear other people's thoughts and like what's going on in their lives right now and how the Lord is speaking to them, because I want to know. So Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for how you speak to us. I thank you, Jesus, for just your words and your wisdom. And so Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come and speak to us, God. Lord, we have expectation to hear from you, but Jesus, we're just so excited to hear your voice and what you have to say to us today. And so, God, I just thank you for speaking. I just pray for fresh revelation and just joy to come out of this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys, I'm super pumped and excited. We're in Galatians chapter 3. So what we've covered in the past couple of chapters, just a quick recap, is just what is Paul mainly covering in the book of Galatians? And it's freedom. Faith or by works. So it's like, are you saved by faith or saved by works? And we're gonna dive more into that today. But it's just been kind of like our tying ourselves to the law. Like, why do we tie ourselves to the law? Do we have any sort of religious attitude or things that are seeping into our lives, like any sort of religiosity, you know, because sometimes, not sometimes, that's a real thing. It's a real thing to struggle with religion in the sense of condemnation when you don't live up to your set mark. Maybe not necessarily something that the Lord has set up for you, but just like, and religion really, one of the main signs of religion in my life is just this avoidance of actually approaching the Father and like wanting to speak to him and hear from him. I don't know why. I don't know if any of you have ever felt this like aversion when when you're maybe you miss a time of study or maybe you fall into sin, you know, and there's this like this divide, this barrier that is created. That really prevents you from moving forward in closer relationship with Jesus, right? Because religion says that you have to, meet all of these marks in order to have a good relationship with God. Faith says that you need to, that Christ died for you, and by accepting him as your Lord and Savior, you are given grace and you are forgiven and you are free, and that there's no condemnation, and that God is sees you are hidden in Christ. So God, when God sees you, he sees Christ, right? And so that's something that we've been talking about, in terms of like, is religion in our lives? What does religion keep us from? And in Galatians 3, there's a whole section on like faith, by works, or by, it's like by faith or by the works of the law. And it talks about, it's like, Paul goes through his little kind of tirade once again, where he's like, you foolish, Galatians, he's like, have people bewitched you? It's like, and he says, let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So it's like Paul again is taking us back to this, to our initial our salvation story. Were you saved by what you did or were you saved by what you believe, right? And he's like, where, he's like, don't forget how this all started, because how this started is how this ends. It does not end with the law. It starts with faith. And then Paul even talks about in verse 13, he talks about how Abraham, it started with faith, not the law. And then the law was introduced for us to be righteous by the law. But then Jesus came, fulfilled his covenant, and then we were rid of the law and we were back to our missional promise by faith. And Jesus is that promise to us. He promises eternal life and life abundantly for us by faith and not by works. And so there's just, I just had this thought when it came to that section of Galatians 3, where he says, I'll go ahead and read it. He talks about, this is what I meant. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void, which is the promise based on Abraham's faith. For the inheritance comes by the law, it is no longer comes by, for if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. And it just left me with this thought, like, oh my gosh, God's promises are more binding than the law. Like, think about that for a second. God's promises are more binding than the law is. God made the promise. The initial thing was the promise. The law came sandwiched in between and then was made null and void by yet the keeping of a promise. Which, you know, if you think about it, is showing you this picture that God's promises, you know, are what we're to hold on to. It's the faith of believing in a promise, not faith in the law, because we can't fulfill the law. The law came to show us that we are unable to fulfill the law. But Jesus set us free from the law. So there's this section in here that when I was reading it, I had not seen it before. And it says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, which, you know, makes sense. That's what we've been talking about. Imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed, which is Jesus. He's our coming faith. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. So it's like before Christ came and before we could be justified by faith, by believing, the law was our guardian. And when I think about what is a guardian, it's someone who looks after you, someone is who in charge of you, someone who is responsible, you know, for you, right? So that was the law. We were responsible unto it. We were put underneath it. We had to submit under the law, right? And so, but then it says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. It's like we've been changed by, like, you know, this like subinherent heir that has to have a guardian over it and has no freedom and no authority. And we're made direct descendants of Christ, sons and daughters of God. So it's this switch. And it's like, okay, well, if this is the switch, you know, it's like introspectively, I can start to understand in myself why I revert back to the law, because it's a safe place. Because you feel like if you're achieving something, if you can tick off some boxes, there's no faith required. It's works. Did I do it? Did I not do it? Easy to know, easy to understand. Also impossible to fulfill completely, right? Impossible to not fail. Whereas faith is not our guardian, is not standing over us, is not big brother watching, is not, you know, like checking off boxes, but as you have authority over your life, you have responsibility over what the choices that you make, but also in that you have the ability to see major change, to walk in faith, to walk in authority of heaven. You're no longer subservient to the guardian of the law, but you are, you know, in essence, we're adults in faith. We are no longer just citizens, but ambassadors, where we've been given power. And what we're supposed to use that power for is to bring heaven to earth, is to be Jesus for everybody else in this world, not to be their quote unquote savior, but to be love, to be kindness, to be gentleness, right? But if we're so stuck, if we get so caught up in going back to our guardian and answering our guardian and unable to move out, to move forward, to like take a risk, to venture out into the world because we're tied to our guardian, we won't. And that's like, there's such a twisted mindset, because it's like, on one hand, I want to be Jesus. I want to bring Jesus. I want to take leaps of faith for the Lord, right? But then on the other hand, that's wicked scary. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes that's really scary. What faith, you know, faith is believing in things unseen. It's like, faith is taking a step and you don't know that there's going to be solid ground there. That's faith. And that's scary. And there's like, there is such an aversion. I have an uncertainty aversion when it comes to that sort of thing. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I kind of like try to avoid. I'm like, you know, it's like, that just seems a little sketchy. I think that's human nature. I don't think that's just me. But what I will say is that it's this, like, it has given me this perspective of like, oh my gosh, I revert to the law out of my own cowardice sometimes, out of my own fear, not out of fear that I'm not doing enough. And I'm speaking personally, this might not apply to you, but like for me, it's like I operate in the law instead of by faith, like out of fear of rejection, out of fear of failing, you know, out of fear of being silly, out of fear of like being seen as stupid or radical. I mean, come on. I mean, far left liberal, you know, not saying that's a bad thing, but like, you know, it's like, I don't want to be seen as this crazy, you know, Christian, you know, person who's just like, it's like, there's so much, I think, warfare when it comes to acting out of faith, because it's because of the, by the nature of what it is that it's faith, and you don't always know what's going to happen, and people might think you're crazy, people might understand why you're doing the things you're doing, you know. But it's like you have to break out of that religious mentality and that law mindset to move forward in the exploits that God has called you to make to bring the kingdom to earth, not for our own selfish ambition, but literally to be an ambassador to the kingdom, to make the earth better than we found it, you know, to start a new thing, to start a new project. What if the Lord is calling us into doing something wild and crazy? But we're still stuck in religion. Like, oh my gosh, did I do this? Did I act a certain way this week? Did I remember, you know, to like pray this prayer in the morning? And I just feel like the Lord is literally like shaking, like grabbing us by our lapels, and is like, we are past this. It's not about this. This is about faith. This is about obedience. This is about you moving forward and growing as you go. You know, it's like, we're not supposed to wait until we've perfectly fulfilled the law before we go and do things for Jesus. It's faith that leads unto works. We're saved by faith that produce works, not the law and working for the law and leaving faith completely out of it. But it's that faith that, okay, Jesus died for me, you know, and so who am I to say that any of my sin makes that death null and void and that it doesn't cover me? Like, what a proud statement to think that. Why would I ever think that? I need to move forward in my faith with Jesus, because I believe that his death covers all of my sins and that he's called me, and that no matter if I'm still growing, he has grace for me, but that I want to live by faith and not by trying to tick boxes, but by taking risks for the Lord. I'm not saying crazy, insane, like, you know, I'm not saying that the Lord calls us to be like radically irresponsible, right? There are precepts in the Bible. I mean, God is a God of order. But I am saying, I was like thinking to myself as I was reading in Galatians today, like about that guardian of the law and how that guardian kept me in, like in the palace walls, right? It was like, you're not ready to go out yet. Like the law, like I'm the law and it was my guardian. But now that Jesus came, I'm free to go. I'm free to go and expand the kingdom and to bring Jesus all over. Not just confined to the law, but I have the faith and I have the love of Jesus and the revelation that's how big his death was, is that it covered all of my sins. I think religion can prevent us from having a full revelation of what Jesus actually did for us, because it only, if religion is still a thing, he only like half paid the price because we're still stuck under the law, right? It's like, what do we believe about the sacrifice of Jesus? Because we have to have Jesus and fulfill the law, it wasn't as big as a deal as it really is, which is where he totally destroyed the law. He totally destroyed that, those boxes that we needed to tick in order to be righteous. And he totally empowered us with the Spirit, and he totally gave us the gift of faith. It says right here, talking about Abraham, it says, in you shall all nations be blessed. So those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We were called to bless the nations. That's the fulfillment of the promise. But we can't do that under the law. We need to have faith. We need to be freed by faith. And that's really, those are really like all of my points. So I guess the questions I would leave you with right now is, like, do you find yourself, like, back to the original, like the very beginning, what I said, do you find yourself, if you've ever fallen or stumbled or not ticked a box when it comes to your routine or any sort of religious, you know, act, do you feel like that ever causes you to, like, kind of like almost like shrink back when it comes to being in presence with the Lord? One, is that ever a feeling that occurs to you? Does that ever happen to you? Is it a thought process that you go through? And then two, is there any way that living by the law, and what I mean by that, is there any way where, you know, if you don't, that thought process of if you don't do something, then you're in trouble sort of thing, like that condemnation, is condemnation in your life, and is it preventing you from moving forward? Because if so, you know, that's living by the law. Condemnation, conviction is from God. The condemnation is from the enemy, where we feel like we are wrong and we are utterly hopeless and we can't be helped. Like we're stuck in a rut. That's condemnation. And so my third question was, you know, is there something that God is calling you to do to step out in faith that you might be disqualifying yourself because you don't feel like, one, you're ready, or two, you're qualified, be spiritually or otherwise? And these are questions that I've just honestly been pondering all week, and they've been kind of messing with me because it's just like, wow, there are so many areas in my life where I am inhibiting myself because of the rules that I impose that God never asked me to impose. So I just wanted to bring that to the table to see, like, hey, maybe I'm not the only one who, like, has these thoughts, or, you know, is, you know, almost feeling prevented from moving forward in their faith because of religion, because of that thought that we need to live by the law. So that's my little spiel today, guys. And yeah, if anyone has any comments or anything, you know, that they'd like to add, I'd love to hear it.
Kat, I do want to point out and appreciate the distinction you made between condemnation and forgot the other word, but you made the contrast between what the devil does by stopping us in our tracks with fear, and by holding the law to a standard where we as Christians look at it and we think, oh, that's totally unobtainable, rather than changing our mindset and saying, okay, I can't attain that, but because of the blood of Christ, I have attained that, and I need to strive for it, and through God's help, I can do that, and rather, mm-hmm. but it's through faith that I attain. It's not my works, because through my works, I fail, and I appreciate right. you making that distinguished.
Yeah, that's so good.
Christians just we get that mixed up or get tripped over that, and it just so many have just walked out of their church because of that, because they think, well, if this whole religious experience thing is just unobtainable, then what's the point?
Right, that's such a good point, Zach. So true. Anybody else? Guys, no pressure. You don't have to chime in, but okay, well, that's totally okay. Well, how's everybody doing? We can go ahead and move into like a time of prayer. If anybody has a prayer request, just go ahead and put that in the chat. Or you can turn off your mic and ask for prayer requests. We'll just go ahead and pray. I'm going to let you guys go.
Well, want to pray for my brother, Matt. He's incarcerated for things that he's done in his past. And he's been recently reaching out to me in a more consistent manner. And I just pray that the Spirit continues to work in him. And I know the devil's just got him by the shoulders and just saying, hey, you know, this was your old life. You had a lot of fun in it, you know, just total lies. But that right. The Spirit just continues to work in him, and that he will emerge post-sentencing of just time to just really be on fire for the Lord. Because I've seen it's just amazing what the devil does when he gets a firm grasp of one of God's children and the child relents, because he's like, oh, sure, okay. And so just to be with him and you know, in the conversations that are had, just that he's led, and that those he comes in contact with, they just continue to point him to Christ, because that's really what this Christian walk is all about. It's just pointing each other back to him.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, does anybody else have a prayer request before I pray for Matt? All right, y'all. I'm going to pray for Matt really quick. So, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that not one sheep escapes your view. Lord, that you go after the one. And God, I pray for Matt. God, I pray for your son. Lord, I pray that you would just be with him wherever he is right now in the room. God, that your Spirit would fill the room. Lord, I pray that you would surround him, Lord, with believers. Lord, those who would be there to speak life and speak truth into him, God. Lord, I pray for Matt. I pray that you would just surround him, Lord, with friendship. God, I just thank you for how you have blessed him with a brother that cares and a brother who wars on his behalf. Jesus, I rebuke any lie of the enemy in Jesus' name, Lord, of the glory of sin. God, I rebuke any lie, Lord, of fear, Lord, of lies of rejection, God, that he cannot change, that he would not be accepted as a changed man. God, I just rebuke that lie right now in Jesus' name. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you have a life for him outside of prison. God, I thank you that you have a life for him, Lord, that you are gone before him, before he is let out, God, that you are going before him and creating a community for him to enter into, that you have people for him to meet, God, that you have lives for him to change and influence, God, in the most positive of ways. God, I thank you for his voice and how you intend to use him. God, I thank you for how you created him unique, Lord, for a special purpose, and that he has not even begun to step into the promises, Lord. I thank you for old promises in Matt's life. And God, I just pray that you would just bring those back to his mind. God, I thank you that you are the God of forgotten promises. Promises that we might even have forgotten, you have not. And so, God, I just even pray that you would remind Matt of old promises today, Jesus. Lord, that you would encourage him today, Lord. God, I just pray for him. Lord, I just pray for a spirit of revelation. Holy Spirit, that you would just hover over him and soften his heart towards you, Lord. That he would just have an open eye experience with and an encounter with the love who is Jesus Christ. God, I just pray for just a radical encounter with you, Jesus. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.